last time we saw what it would have been like to have lived in the Jewish world before Rav Yehuda Hanasi, where we had the dinim of Nida and Zava Mida Oraisa. And we saw the basic machlokes Rishonim, most Rishonim against the Rambam, where the Rambam divided the world's, the woman's life into days that came consecutively one upon the other, 7 Yemei Nida, 11 Yemei Ziva, and we have this perpetual calendar for the woman. And as opposed to the most Rishonim, that the woman's calendar is constantly being renewed. Every time that she has a veset, every time that she has a menstrual cycle, then she begins the 7 and moves into the 11. And only after the Shiva Nekiyim does she, that the next cycle will begin, etc. So it's a constantly renewed counting. And we pointed out that there are those that want in the Rambam to limit his calendar to those women who have a veset she'eino kavua. But a woman with a veset kavua, we would begin the calendar every time with the veset. It's a possible reading, Reb Chaim's reading, but the classic Mefarshim of the Rambam, Beis Yosef, understood the Rambam in the earlier manner. What we find on the Gemara in Nida on Daf Samach Vav Amid Aleph is that Rebbe made a takana. The Gemara points out that this takana was the result of Hiskin Rebbe Basadot in areas of the Sadeh, which Rashi explains as Makom She'ein B'nei Torah. And that which we learned last time, Pisrei Nida V'Ziva, it was difficult for women to deal with their distinctions between a Nida and a Ziva, Mataihen, etc. So we find that Rebbe was Matakein three takanot. Ra'ata Yom Echad Teshev Shisha V'Hu. Shnayim Teshev Shisha V'Hein. Shrosha Teshev Shiva Nikiyim. Namely, that Rebbe wanted to smooth out the playing field, and he says we have women who are not sure if they are in the status of a Nida or a Zava, and so we're always going to go l'chumra. If we have a one-time Ria, had it been a Zava, she would have been what we call a Zava Katana. She would have been a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, just had to keep one more day. But had she been a Nida and she sees Dam, then she has to wait 7 days and go to the mikveh. So we're going to view her as a Nida. In other words, if she's not sure if she's a Nida or a Ziva, so Ra'asa Yom Echa Teshev Shisha V'Hu. That would be the Chumr of being a Nida. Shnayim, again, had she been a Zava, she would have again been a Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. Just wait one more day. Had she been a Nida, then she would have had to wait 5 more days, because she already saw it too. But maybe the first Re'iyah, maybe she's at the transition between the days of Ziva and the days of Nidut. The first Re'iyah was the last day of Ziva, and the second day is the first day of Nidus. So we'll be machmir for such an ukimta, and also in that case, teshev shisha vehein. So she'll wait 6 more days, and then she'll go to the mikveh. Shlosha, here, the shu was on the other foot. Namely, that had she been a Nida, and she had seen 3 days, she only has to wait 4 more days, and then she'd go to the mikveh. But had she been a Zava, now she becomes a Zava Gedola, and she requires Shiva Nikiyim. So we'll take that scenario, teshev Shiva Nikiyim. Namely, what we have over here is that we have gotten everything down to basically 2 scenarios. If she sees 1 or 2 days, then she will wait 6 more days and go to the mikveh. That will be the chumrah of Nida. If she sees 3 days, then she'll wait Shiva Nikiyim and go to the mikveh, and that will be the chumrah of Zava. Clearly, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's takana fits in like a glove with the Rambam Shita. Namely, according to the Rambam, that we're dealing with a woman who has a calendar. And don't forget, before the time of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, this calendar could not be like nowadays we put a calendar into the computer and we have it for the next 100 years. Every month she would have to make a new calendar, because we don't know whether the month has 30 days or the month has 29 days. and then in terms of Ibrior, etc., and whether, you know, whether the Edom did come, they didn't come. So every month she'd have to make a new calendar, and a woman could have can start her calendar not only at the age of 12, she can start her calendar even at the age of birth. That we'll see that will define Dam Nidus as hormonal blood. Yitzchein that even the process of giving birth to a baby girl can bring about a change in the hormones of the baby, and the baby could see a Tipas Dam, and that would be already considered to be the Re'iyah. And so we can have a situation where a girl is not sure, should she have begun her calendar at birth, should she begin at the age 12, and then again after birth, you know, she begins, and as we know, people ask me questions, well, I'm not sure, I'm coming out of birth, but I have like a little bit of a flow, it's not a real flow, it's only ketamim, in other words, should I begin to count now, should I begin to count later? So it could be that her calendar is totally confused, and so, over here, Rebbe said, we will solve the problem, you'll just count how many days you see in a row, and that will tell you how many, in other words, that will be machmir in both directions, and that way you're covered all over. What's fascinating is that even Rashi, who is the shita they bring as the contra to the Rambam, here he uses Rambam language. Makom she'enam de Torah enon yodos lemanos Pesach nidot matayhen yemei nida matayhen yemei zov. Right? We pointed out that according to Rav Elbel, this terminology is Rambam terminology. We don't have, according to Rashi, yemei nida. We have riyas nida. But this fits so beautifully into Rav Yehuda Hanasi's Takana. How do the other Rishon, and certainly the Aruch HaShulchan brings this as a raya that maybe the Rambam is really correct. Otherwise, how do you understand the Takana of Rav Yehuda HaNasi? And certainly would explain the Levush, right? That the Shachas and the Levush. Why is the Levush quote the Rambam? It's a Das Yachid. We see from this Sugya that the Rambam appears to have been at least the working basis for the Takana of Rav Yehuda HaNasi. So how did the other Rishonim understand this Takana? I mean, what does it mean that a woman doesn't know? So of course, you can't, according to the Rishonim, you can never become a Zava unless it was preceded a week and a half ago, 11, right? In other words, it was preceded by Nida. In other words, a week ago. In other words, you have 7 Yemei Nida, and then you move over into 11 Yemei Zava. And then, you know, it stops, and then it begins all over again. So how could a woman will forget that last week she began to have a flow? It's just very, very strange. If, in other words, if everything is determined by the subjective status of the woman, so, in other words, and before she became Anita, she counted 7 days, Shibin Nikiyim, namely, Lechara, it's possible that women multitask and they're very, very turudot in terms of what they're doing, but it's a little harder to understand according to most Rishonim. So how really do they learn? So here we find that the Rif in Shvuas and Tosfos al-Atar over here on Daf Samach Vav, and the Ramban in his Hilchos Nida in Sif Tesvav, and this is all, and the Tur brings this down, that there's another factor as well involved in Rebbe's Takana, and that works off of the earlier Gemara on Daf Chaf Amud Beis in Nida, that already in the time of the Tanoim, the distinctions between Dam Tohar and Dam Tameh began to be lost. Namely, according to our Masoret, there are 7 shades of red that consist of Dam, that Dam Nida consists of. Any other shade, of pink or of purple or of dark brown, etc., that's considered to be Dam Tohar. That's not considered to be the Dam Nidus. And already in the time of the Tanoim, that Masoret was beginning to get lost. By the time of the Amoraim, it became lost altogether. And so, let's take a woman who sees Dam, Yom Echad. She sees Dam one day. Let's say that this woman, it's not a question that she doesn't know whether she's a Nida or a Ziva. She knows that, you know, she's a Nida. This came out of the blue. But it could very well be that she had, let's start with the second case. The first case, maybe if she sees one day that she waits 6, okay, that's because that's what a Nida does. 2 days and wait 6, maybe the first day was really Dam Tohar, maybe the first day was really not a Re'iyah, and her Nidus begins on the second day. And then when she sees 3 days, so it could be that maybe the first 2 days, maybe the first two days were dam tahar. But this is the way the Taz also learns, and the Taz points out, according to this way of learning, all of the numbers, 6 and 7, are nikiyim. Namely, that the more blood she sees, the more that she's affrighted that maybe the earlier blood that she saw was really not blood, and she should always start on the last day. So the only way she's ever going to get to the mikveh is if there's going to be, after that re'iyah, 6 clean days. Then she can view that as dam nida, with the Yom HaRe'iyah and the 6 that follow, she can go to the mikveh. If she sees 2 days, so again she'll count 6 clean days afterwards, because maybe the first day was not a Re'iyah Nida. She sees 3 days, maybe the first 2 days weren't a Re'iyah, and then she is counting. Namely to work it in that way. In Achinami, in other words, we have a difference between 6 and 7 because maybe she is mistaken between Nida and Ziva, but the Iker issue is that maybe we don't have here Dam at all. And maybe we don't have over here a reason to begin counting. That's the way the Taz learns, as opposed to the Shach, who always deals with the Shulchan Aruch at hand, or at least I shouldn't say always, but 99% of the time deals with the Shulchan Aruch at hand. The Taz many times goes back to the Tur and wants to explain the Tur. And so over here in Sifkat and Beis, after the Taz gives a certain Marim Makom, he says, Ubetur. Shema tir isha b'mini dasa, etc. And this is the way he learns the Tur, that the Tur introduces this issue of the type of the blood in order to set up the Gemara that it'll work even according to the Rishonim who disagree with the Rambam. Okay, so this is what we have after the Takana of Rebbe, and Lechora we have solved our issues. Namely, we've gotten everything down to a question of how many days is the woman seeing. She sees 1 or 2 days, then she counts 6 clean days. She sees 3 days, then she counts 7 clean days. That way we cover the worst case scenario, Nida, Ziva, Dam which is really not Tame, Dam which is Tame, etc. But then the Gemara continues, and it points out that post-Rebbe, we have Amar Rebbe Zeira, Benos Yisrael hechmiru al atzman, afilu roos tipas dam kichardal, yoshvo salav shiva nikiyim. That Benos Yisrael were machmir on themselves to even after one re'iyah, even if that re'iyah is a very minor re'iyah, becholzo to have shiva nikiyim. What problem were Benos Yisrael trying to solve over here? What kind of a chumrah is this? We got everything down to 2 options. We know that if a woman sees 1 day or 2 days, she waits 6 more days. And again, we point according to the Taz, Nikiyim. If she sees 3 days, then she waits Sheva Nikiyim. And then, whether the first Re'iyah had been Nidas, Zava, second Re'iyah had been Nidas or Zava, we've covered all the cases, even if some of the blood of the original days was not considered to be Dam Nida. So what was added by the Chumrah of Benos Yisrael? So that's a Machlokes Rishonim. There are some Rishonim, and I'll give them a name, who understand that even within the world of Rebbe, one can still come to mistakes. Even within what we appear to have this watertight system, it could still be cases where a woman can make a mistake, but by saying that we're going to have something which is uniform, that will take away all areas. And the mistakes are not common mistakes, but they're possible mistakes. That's why it's hechmiro latzban. It's a chumrah. So Rashi, we pointed out that this Gemara of Chumras Benos Yisrael is brought in Megillah as well as at the end of Nida. So Rashi in Megillah on Daf Kaf Chesem Adbeis Dibra Maskil Inami points out that maybe the woman knows of one re'iyah, but actually there was a re'iyah for 3 days. That, in other words, all of a sudden the woman feels moisture coming out of her, but she's been in a very, very stressful situation. She hasn't even had a chance to change her clothing, and it could very well be that this has been going on for a number of days. Just now, she's the first time noticing it. So therefore, according to Rebbe, if she sees once, she should only wait 6 days. But maybe she saw 3 days without her being totally aware, and then she should wait 7 days. Or we have another chash brought by Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah. This Gemara of Benos Yisrael Hechmiro Latzman is also brought as an example of a halacha psuka in the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Kaf Beis Amud Aleph, that if you're going to daven, you should have previously learned the halacha psuka that won't occupy your mind, as opposed to learning a machlokes between Rashi and Tosos and Asugya and Ksuvas, that then you'll come to think about it during davening. But if you learn halacha psuka, you'll be able to daven b'kavana. What's an example of halacha psuka? B'nos Yisrael achmira latzman afilu roj tipas dam kachardal Yoshan alav shiva nikiim. So over there, the Rif in Verachos quotes that Gemara, and Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah on the Rif point out that we're going to learn that even though the woman is aware of her nidus status by what happens externally, what comes out of her body, but nidus really, in other words, the real nidus is what goes on internally. That we'll see that there are different parts of a woman's internal biological structure, and when the dam goes from what's called the cheder, that we'll define, to the prozdor, then she's really a nida. She's only igloi milsa when it comes out. So maybe this process has been going on for 3 days, but she's only aware of it on the third day. But really, she has seen three, really she would be in a situation of a 3 day re'iyah, in this theoretical world, and that she's really required shiva nekiyim. And so to worry about this situation, again, it's a very rare situation, because generally there's a law of gravity. A woman is standing, and the flow is going to go, towards the earth. And so generally, if there is a flow internally, it'll show up externally in a relatively short period of time. But perhaps we have over here a very, very slow flow. Maybe the woman was lying down, and she's standing on her head, whatever. Okay, the third scenario is that of the run. The run in Shavuos on the Rif over there points out Yeshatirtzu, it's not the run himself, but Yeshatirtzu, that maybe she comes to us and she says, I saw one day. They say, what do you mean you saw one day? She said, I saw it at noon. Oh, and by the way, I also saw it at the very beginning of the day, beginning of the night, and sort of at the end of the day, but it's all one day. But it could be that she saw Bein Hashmashos, and maybe when she saw at the beginning, it was really the previous day. Maybe when she saw at night, it was really the following day. Maybe she saw 3 days, but in her mind, she counts it as one day because she's assuming that her Riyah at night was post-Bein Hashmashos. Her Riyah the following night was pre-Bein Hashmashos, but maybe she's mistaken in terms of when Bein Hashmashos is. So these are situations which would mess up Rebbe's twofold takana. That maybe the woman will mistake her being in the, she thinks she's in the 1 or 2 day re'iyah, which requires 6 nikiyim, when really she's in the 7, she's really in the 3 day re'iyah, which requires 7 nikiyim for any of these possible reasons. Okay. So these are our options. The Taz offers perhaps, another option, but let's just leave it with seeing the Rishonim. This is one group of Rishonim. However, there is a larger group of Rishonim, the Ran himself, and the Ramban in his Hilchos Nida, and Rashi in his first Terutz, and Tosfos also over there in Megillah on Daf Kaf Kasamud Beis. They all say, no, we're not afraid that she's going to mess up, make a mistake, confuse 1 day with 3 days. But rather, we have a concept of lo plug. We have a concept of lo plug, that there is one situation where a zava, a woman who's in Yemei Ziva, will only have to see 1 day and wait 7 clean days. Namely, let's say we had a woman who was a zava gedola, she had seen for 3 days, and she began counting, and in the middle of her count, in day number 5, she saw dam. Now she has to count 7 more clean days. So we have a woman who, according to all the deos, after 1 re'iyah, has to count 7 days. So here, B'notz Yisrael Achmira Latzman, Rebbe didn't take into account this situation, this scenario. But we'll take it into account, and if we'll take it into account, we'll say that every woman will be like this woman. In other words, that since we have a woman who, mida oraisa, has to count 7 days after a 1 day re'iyah, so we're, anytime a woman is roa tipas dam kechardal, she's going to count 7 clean days. In other words, it's more functional than Rebbe's takana. Rebbe's takana left us with a woman looking at, did I see 1 day or 2 days or 3 days? 1 day or 2 days, I'll count 6 nikiyim. 3 days, I'll count 7 nikiyim. Now, hechmiru benos Yisrael, out of a low plug, that we're always going to require 7 nikiyim, there's going to be a uniform count. If you have a Shulchan Aruch, and you look in the margin of the Shulchan Aruch, there's a Gilyon HaMaharsha. The Gilyon HaMaharsha goes on the... The Gilyon HaMaharsha points out that Beroa Shtei, in other words, it's Sifkat on Gimel in my edition. Beroa B'Shtei Yomim Efshar Litot Shetira Achas Mehen Ben Hashmashos V'Yu Shlosha Yomim V'Yizav Gedola Shetzricha Zayin Nikiyim V'Hi Titev Etachshov Shiroa Sarak B'Yom Echad Avo Beroa Sapam Achas Enchshash Taut Rakevan Shelef Amim Riachas Soteret B'Ziva Gazru Alkol HaRi'iyot. Namely, that first he brings in that we have over here a chshash of ta'us, like the yesh omrim, yesh tirtzu of the Ran, and then he quotes the Ran himself, that we have over here this lo plug, otu, the woman who sees 1 day in the middle of her being a ziva, in the middle of counting her zayin nikiyim, she has to start all over again. Okay, so ech shelo yiyeh, post the takana of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, we have Rabbi Zeira quoting Benos Yisrael Echmira Latzman. What is the halachic status of this halacha of Benos Yisrael Echmira Latzman? And we'll see that there could be a very important nafgamina, halacha lemaise. If we look in the language of the sugyot, we find two terms that are used. In the sugya at the end of Nida and Daf Samach Vav, after this is quoted, after this din of Rabbi Zeira is quoted, then we find the Gemara bringing a drasha from Sukkim, and then they bring in the din of Rabbi Zeira, and the Gemara compares it. Amina lach isura. I'm talking to you about Sukkim. Va'at amris minhaga. Hecha da achmir achmir. Hecha da lo achmir lo achmir. The Gemara rates to it as a minhag. It was a minhag that of Benos Yisrael, as opposed to an Isur, being an Isur Doraisa, being an Isur Drabonan, it's a minhag. Ma she'en ken, the Gemara in Brachos we saw, Gemara in Daf Lamed Aleph, Amed Aleph, speaks a bit about it as halacha psuka, as mashma that we're dealing over here on the level of takana. And really we find a machlokes between the Rishonim in their formulations. On one hand, the Rif in Shavuos and Tosos and Megillah over there on Kafchet Amud Bet speak about Takonis Rabbi Zeira, that it could be that Benos Yisrael Hachmiru, they initiated the Takana, they petitioned for the Takana, they wanted uniformity, but it's the Takana of Rabbi Zeira to take the Takana of Rebbe one step further. Masha Ein Kein, or if you want to, you could say that the Benos Yisrael entered into the picture post the Takana, that the Rif points out that we know from the Rambam and Hilchos Mamrim that any Takana is only going to become valid, is only going to be able to be enforced if it's a Gzeira Shehatzibur Yachol La'amod Ba. If it's a Gzeira She'en Hatzibur Yachol La'amod Ba, then Betela. And so Benos Yisrael Hachmir Alatzman, they accepted the takana of Rabbi Zeira and enabled it to get on the rule books as being a bona fide takana. That's what's mentioned, the Ritva in Nida on Daf Samach Vav Amed Aleph, the Meiri in Brachos on Daf Lamed Aleph Amed Aleph. In other words, so Benos Yisrael either entered into the picture before the takana to petition for it, or they entered into the picture post takana to give it its validity. However, we're dealing over here, according to these Rishonim, with a takana. the Rambam and the Ramban, they speak to us about minhag. It's a minhag, kol makom sheyesh Yisrael. It's a very uniform minhag, a very universal minhag. V'lachen yesh lo zeh tokef ki halacha psuka, to use the language of the Ramban in Hilchos Nida, halacha yutet osir lahakil ba olamis. Both the Ramban says that, and the Rambam there in halacha yud. In other words, that it's a super minhag. It's a minhag which is like a takana. This yitachein is the Rambam and the Ramban l'shitatam in terms of how do they understand minhag. Classically, what is the tokef? What is the background of minhag Yisrael? Why? Because my father put on tefillin nusach sfarad. Do I put on tefillin nusach sfarad? Why? If my father said kegavna, do I say kegavna? What's my father decided to behave a certain way? Why does that impose itself on me? I'm later generations. So it's a machlokes rishonim that there are two sugyas that deal with minhag. One of them is a gemara in the Darim on daf tesvav amud aleph that views minhag as a neder. That there is a din over here of bal yachil again. In other words, if one goes against the minhag, at least on a drabanan plane. The gemara in Psachim in the fourth perek on daf nun amud beis uses the pasuk al titosh taras imecha. More of a moral obligation to keep family traditions. The Beis Yosef in Hilchos Nedarim quotes both Deos in Siman Reish Yud Dalid. With a nafkamina as to if someone wants to change his minhag, does he require hataras nedarim? That if you understand that a minhag is basically a neder, and as such, in other words, can be extended even for generations, does it require hataras nedarim? If someone finds in an Eretz Yisrael kitniot too difficult to deal with, let's say he's in the army. Well, he's in a Sephardi battalion, no one else is keeping kitnios, so does he require hataras nadarim, or do we say no? In other words, we have over here a moral inyan of lotish tosh taras imecha, and as long as if he has a good reason, he doesn't require taras nadarim. The Beis Yosef quotes two deos. When it gets to Shulchan Aruch, he paskins that one requires hataras nadarim. Siman Reish Yudalid. Sif Aleph. Dvarim hamutarim v'hayaduim bahem shehem mutarim nohagu bahem isur have ki'ilu kibru aleihem b'neder. Ki'ilu kibru aleihem b'neder. And so someone who's ragel l'sanos sheni chamishi or before Rosh Hashanah or between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, etc., and he wants to be choserbo, so he needs tzorach shlosha she yatirulo. He requires hataras nedarim, and therefore he suggests to everyone before accepting minhagim to say b'li neder, so not to put himself in that situation. However, even though that's the opinion of most rishonim, either it's based on the din of al titosh torat imecha or ke'en a neder midrabanan. But the Rambam and the Ramban have different sources for the world of Nedarim. The Ramban, I sent you to the Ramban, I know there are all sorts of new editions, but the old two-volume Ramban in the Rashi script, in the back of the first volume, the Ramban has an essay called Mishpat HaCherem, that in his time, there were a lot of people, or a lot of communities, that used to put people into Cherem. And when they weren't behaving properly, and then they would take them out of Cherem, etc. So at first he thought that this was Stam Baba Mises, and then he decided to write a whole kuntrus on what the Cherem is based. And in that kuntrus, again in the edition I have in front of me, it's Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, he points out that there are four areas in which the Cherem is different from Shvuos and Nedarim, that a Cherem doesn't have to be stated verbally, and it's chal even against the will of someone else, and it could even be done shelo b'fanav. And if someone goes against the cherem, he's considered porish min hatzibur, etc. But he points out that the cherem chal aleihem va'al zar'am, similar to a neder, similar to a minhag. Where does this come from? Shekein kol kabbalat harabim, that we have a concept in Chazal that when the community accepts something upon themselves, this now turns into that which obligates their children. Kidam, remember Kabbalah Satorah? The Naaseh v'Nishmach Kabbalah Satorah was Mechayev the children. V'chein b'Megillah, Kiyemu v'Kiblu. V'chein b'Tzomos, that they began as Minhagim, and they were accepted by Klal Yisrael. So according to the Ramban, we're dealing over here with that which goes a bit beyond the world of Nedarim. We're dealing with a Kabbalas Rabim, and that gives it the tokef of Kabbalah Satorah. It gives it the tokef of or of Megillah or of Tzomos. It certainly has a tokef of the Halacha Psuka, even if it begins as the world of Minhag. And the Rambam, he has a whole Arichus at the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim, where he speaks about the tasks of Beis Din Hagadol, or the privileges, if you want them, of Beis Din Hagadol. And he points out that Beis Din Hagadol, listening to Beis Din Hagadol, we have involved both a mitzvah asei, vasisa kachol asher yorucha, and we have a mitzvah lo taaseh, lo sasur. And what are the areas of authority of the Beis Din Hagadol? Echa dvarim shalomdu asam ipi ha-shmua, v'heim Torah sheba'al peh. Echa dvarim shalomdu midas atzmam, of the Yud Gimel Midos ha-Torah and Rishis behem. V'echa dvarim sha'asa'an siyog la-Torah, and includes under that, gzeros, takanos, u-minhagot. That minhagim are in the realm of gzeros v'takanos, and in Perek Beis, he points out that if you have based in Shigazru Gzeiro Tiknu Takana Hinhigu Minhag Upashat B'chol Yisrael, that you can't be Mevatil such a Minhag until you have Gadol Chachma V'Minyan. Namely, the same criteria that we have for Gzeiros and Takanos, we also have for Minhagim. So the fact that over here we find certain Rishonim say that this is a Takana, the Rifin Tosfos, and we find the Rambam and the Rabban saying it's a minhag, but they're saying it's a minhag, it's like they're saying it's a takana, namely that this din of hinhigu kumra shinhigu benos Yisrael is considered to be within it makes it into the halacha. Why am I stressing this? Because there is one opinion who disagrees with this. Is the mainstream opinion. There is one acharon, his name is Rav David Mi Nevardok. He wrote a sefer called Galya Meseches, and this sefer Galya Meseches is quoted by later Achronim. He's considered to be, it's a meaningful posek. So he dealt with a situation which was very, very real at the time that he wrote about it. Nowadays there are other solutions, of a woman who had an issue in terms of getting pregnant, in terms of helping her husband be mekayim the mitzvah of Pru Urevu, because her ovulation date came out only 8 days after she began her period. And so the fact that she was keeping the chumra of Benos Yisrael of requiring Shiva Nikiyim always had her go to the mikvah after her ovulation date. There was no way of her becoming pregnant. And the doctor said if she would just move up her going to mikvah, namely skip the chumra of Benos Yisrael, simply be roa hu va'ochisha, then she would be able to get pregnant. And so he has a tshuva in which he paskins that there are tzvei dinim of minhagim. Nachon, there are the minhagim that the Rambam talks about, the minhagim that are made by Beis Din HaGadol, and they have the tokef of gzeros and takanos. However, there are other minhagim. There are minhagim that the people keep, not they were ratified by the Sanhedrin, like Al Titosh Toras Imecha. And those minhagim, if there's a reason to override them, so they lend themselves to be overridden. He gave an example, like we know the Gemara in Brachos points out that you only should not bench midoraisa if you ate kedei sviya. But Bnei Yisrael hechmiru latzmam kedei kezayis kedei kebeitza. So if, in other words, we paskin that a cut, if we have an adult who ate kedei kezayis, that a katan can be motzi him in birkas hamazon, because it's really, he's really not chayav in birkas hamazon. It's only chayav mitzad haminog. So on that level, a katan could be motzi him. Or he speaks about shuman of gid hanasha, that we were machmir on ourselves, and there are all sorts of kulos. And so therefore, since we don't find the din of Echmiru benos Yisrael being ratified by the Sfaid Sanhedrin, we just find it being quoted by Rav Zeira. So therefore, it's not in the realm of the Megillas Esther, or of Tzomos, or of Kabbalah Satorah. This is not something which is binding, this, you know, where it's under all circumstances. And he says that if there are other Chachamim who will agree with me, then I think we can be matir these women. So just as, so Lemaisa, no Chachamim agreed with him. In other words, his tshuva is quoted by Rav Ovadia in his Taras Habayis. It's quoted by Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. It's quoted, not by name, but Rav Moshe relates to it. They all disagreed. And because basically what he ignored was A, that there are those Rishonim who call this a Takana, and B, that the Rishonim who call it a Minhag, the Rambam and the Ramban, speak about it as Ki Halacha Psuka, and give it the you know, and point out that lo yishana ba'olam v'chulei v'chulei. So just to give you the Marim Makomos, within the Sefer Taharas Habayis in Krach Aleph on page Kaf Ches, he quotes the tshuva of the Galya Masechet, Simon Dalid Daftzadi, etc., and he tears it to pieces, mentioning that, you know, where it's that the language of the Rambam and the Ramban is such that this doesn't lend itself to be changed. The Ravid also points out this is not Stama Minhag, and then he deals with it from generally. What do you have? What happens when you have a Chiyuv Doraisa like Pru Ravu, and you have a Drabanan that would not allow you to keep the Doraisa Pru Ravu? When do we say that Asei Doche Lo Tase, and he has a whole Arichus? And at the end of his, and he points out that, you know, it's that Rav Shlomo Zalman agrees with me, and Rav Moshe agrees with me. Okay, so this is Rav Ovadia. Rav Moshe is in two places. But, oh, Rav Ovadia also points out, but when he wrote this, again, we went through stages. Originally, a woman like this had problem ovulating, she would not be able to come pregnant. Then they moved to the world of artificial insemination. So Rav Ovadia and Rav Moshe were asked whether they would be able to do artificial insemination on this woman with her husband's zera, with her husband's semen, during when she is not tahora. And they said, of course. In other words, the iser is bia when she's not tahora. There's no iser if a medical procedure is done that will make her pregnant, but there's no maisa bia. So Rav said, then it's efshar lasot shnei, and you can keep the takana of benos Yisrael, and the woman can become pregnant. So Rav Moshe goes through two stages. One in Yoredeya Siman Sadi Gimel, that I think was the first tshuva that had been written. Again, with a woman who found it difficult to become pregnant, the Isur Shehitzrichu Zayin Nikiyim Renida B'Makom Pru Urevu, and he told the Rav who asked the question, you can't just say this is a drabanan, this is a minhag. Even to be Mekayim de Oraisis, we have to take into account the world of drabanans and minhagim. And he points out that there's a lot of things I'd like to talk to you about, and when we meet, I'll talk to you about them, but I don't want to put them into writing. But, in other words, he basically said, nothing doing. Then later on, in Eben HaEzer Chelek Beis, this is a tshuva that got Rav Moshe into a lot of hot water. Where was it? Yeah, Siman Yud Ches. The Eishar Lehisaber Ela Bezilof Zera Havala Meyeh Kodem Sheyishlimu Zayin Nekiyim. So here, he's writing to a Rav in Johannesburg, and he tells him that to simply ignore Takonas Benos Yisrael, that one cannot do. And he points out that he'll be happy to talk to him about it, but he doesn't want to put any more into writing. However, in terms of artificial insemination with the semen of the father, that's possible, and it should be done, etc. And this got Rav Moshe into a whole pickle where a lot of people felt that opened a slippery slope where they wouldn't use this era of the husband, and he was picketed, and all sorts of terrible, not nice things happened to him because he was, you know, sensitive to Takonas Menos Yisrael. But in any case, that's his tshuva. The Mincha Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, was involved in this in terms of writing a kuntrus, an entire kuntrus that was posthumously reprinted in the Mincha Shlomo, Chelek Beis Siman Ayin. The title of the kuntrus was Ra'as Adam Bishvil Feres, that he had, I don't remember if it was a daughter or a daughter-in-law, who could not become Tahora. And she had the issue of allowing her husband to be Mekayim Pru Urevu. And so Rav Shlomo Zalman suggested maybe we could make her technically not a Nida by inserting a shvoferet, a tube, that would take the blood directly from the rechem, from the uterus, out of her body. It wouldn't touch the walls of the prosdor, and so technically, maybe over here she would not be a nida, and then we would be able to permit her to her husband, and in that way she they would be able to live together. She'd become pregnant, etc. So he put it al shulchan malachim and said, if other rabbanim will agree with me, fine. And no other rabbanim agreed with him, and so it remained just a kuntrus. But the beginning of the kuntrus, the anaf aleph, was the chumer of avzera, the yemei nida, the ziva, and he points out that you can't be mekel in this chumra of avzera, even the makom tzar, even the shas hadachak gadol. He quotes the Galya Masechet and says, no, this is not normative halacha, and it's very, very, very fascinating, and it's very. I think that you would. Yet chizuk from reading it and understanding what he's talking about. Okay, that's his tshuva. Rav Ovadia, at the end of his tshuva, quoted a tshuva from Beit Avi. This is on page Lamed Beis in parentheses, where he. No, it's the tshuva's Beit Avi is a very fascinating sefer. I was speaking to Rabbi David this morning because we were both brought up in the Bronx. When we were in the Bronx, the Bronx still had European rabbanim who came over post-Holocaust. There were some Hasidish rabbeim, and there were two big poskim. One was Rabbi Vick, who later moved to Borough Park, and the other was Rav Libus, who later moved to Borough Park, like everyone moved to Borough Park. Except that, you know, whereas, and Rav Libus wrote five volumes called Beit Avi. He was a Hungarian posek. He went through the Holocaust. He lost his family in the Holocaust, and then he came to America. Rabbi David told me he used to daven in his shul. I lived in a different part of the Bronx, more closer to where Rabbi Vick lived. He dealt with a lot of American issues. So he had the question, Be'inyan ba'alat tshuva she'ba'ala chiloni. Okay, you had a non-religious couple who got married, and then spiritually they were growing on different tracks, and the woman became a balat shuva. The husband remained chiloni. So he was asked him, "Yesh makom lahatir shetitbo betoch zayin yemei nida ulehizdavik imo betoch zayin hanekiyim mishum takonas hashavet." Namely, that to the husband, the whole world of nida was off the wall, and the woman is a balat shuva. So is she allowed to go back to the Deoraisa, or even to the Takana of Rebbe, in some way to cut down the days that she would be usher on her husband, that hopefully that will help the husband grow, when he sees that they're going towards him, it'll help him also grow spiritually and help him also, and also give her chizuk that she has enough issues aside from this issue. And he brought a raya, from a Rambam, that there, in other words, the question basically is a question of how to view Judaism. Is it all or nothing, or is there room for taking things in stages? I think you're all aware that there's a large literature in America, an NCSY literature, about, you know, it's whether you can tell someone whose parents are not willing to make their house kosher, but they're willing to bring in meat for him, you know, where it's, or, you know, can he keep Shabbos to a certain degree? V'chulei v'chulei, you know, is he's allowed to take things step by step in terms of his process of returning to our traditions. So this is what he was asked. So Rav Avadya brings it in over here, sort of as, okay, the Galia Maseches deals with the situation of Pru-Ravu. Pru-Ravu, we can solve. In other words, again, in the time of Rav Avadya, they already had artificial insemination. Nowadays, you don't have to go that far. There's hormone therapy. The doctors are able to extend period of time of ovulation by changing the balance of hormones in the woman's body and to allow the woman to have a normative shiva nikiyim according to Tchum Ras Benos Yisrael and still to become pregnant. So there are a lot of solutions nowadays of modern medicine. But in terms of the world of Baalei Tshuva, or in terms of the world of Orthodox light, the question is whether there would be room to return to the Takanas, to the stage pre Takanas Rebbe and pre Takanas Benos Yisrael. So the Beis Avi, he quotes a tshuva of the Rambam in the Per Hador, Siman Kuf Lamed Beis. The Rambam over there was dealing with was asked about a situation where you have a young Jewish man who is living in a home with his stepmother and her three daughters. And he buys a shifcha, who happens to be quite attractive. And the town is going bananas that he bought this shifcha not only to do his laundry, and they want basically that he should throw her out of the house. And she comes to the, in front of the Beis Din and says, well, you know, I'm not a shiksa, I'm Jewish. I was just sold as a shifcha, but my yichus, I'm a Jewish, good Jewish girl. And so that created its own issue. Okay, so now you have this fellow who has this good Jewish girl that he bought as a shifcha, and it came in, you know, like, what do we do in the situation? Technically, yichud, there's no yichud because there are four other women in the house. But practically, it appears that he's very, very involved with this very attractive single young lady, and he's a single young man. And so the Rambam gives an etza that Beis Din should try and get him to marry her, to be meshachar her, and to marry her. That if they want to live together, fine, but it should be in a situation of marriage. We have my Marei Chazal that if there had been a situation where someone had been living with someone the Isur, and you know, where it's, and then she becomes Muteret, that this is should not be L'chatchila, the proper marriage for her. So the Rambam says that, but we already were posek such similar situations that we don't live necessarily a life of L'chatchila. U'pasaknu mipnei takonas hashavim, mutav shiyochal rotev v'lo shuman atzmo. Namely, that you have to somehow deal with people basher heim sham, and if you have people who are in the drek, so at least pull them out part of the way. At least, you know, it's but you know, it's to try and to keep halacha in its pristine manner is not always possible. So this is the Beis Avi brought in terms of his of the issue of how to deal with this woman who has a chiloni husband. And points out also that Yitachain, that in the time, you know, if he sees she's going towards her, then she'll go towards him, and Yachzir Enu LaMutav, etc. So just be aware that this is an approach. I'm not aware of the entire Orthodox orthodoxies, I'm sorry, open orthodoxies literature, but in Eretz Yisrael, there is a doctor who wears a kippah, who wrote a whole volume, I think he called it L'Hachzirat Torah L'Yoshna, how we should go back to dinim of Nida and Zava, and that way women would be permitted to their husbands much earlier, because most women have cycles that would not pull them into Yimei Zivus, and they would be able to be mutter to their husbands immediately, etc. No, in other words, no inyanam of pru revu, no inyanam of kiruv, just pure pleasure, and so on that level, no posek has gone in that direction. However, in the area of balei tshuva, as Rav Avadya brought in parentheses, there is room for to deal with individual situations. I remember once I was in Boston, I was walking with the Boston Rebbe, it was a long walk, and he told me that women told him that Rav Soloveitchik had, that the Rav, that Tzal had given heterim under certain circumstances, in certain, you know, when we were dealing with couples, that they were Makarif, and the kids, sending the kids to Maimonides, etc., to keep dinim de oraisa, without necessarily keeping the drabanans, again, as a hora sha'a, in order to be able to bring them into the world of mikveh, of achulei. So that's what we find over here. That was all ba'al peh, when I once asked one of the Rav's grandchildren about it, he said, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. My grandfather never did something like that. But the Boston Rebbe, I believe him, that I'm sure that...
True,
what?
Rebbe's like, there was a case where a person was starting to be dumb, and the Rav said, come dress with them. Kira said, well, I'm not ready to dress.
Okay, so again, okay, so what we're saying over here is that in terms of normative halacha, we view the Hechmiru Benos Yisrael Atzman, the Afilu Ro'os Tipos Tam Kechardo Yoshel Hashiv Nekiyim, that's normative halacha. That's Shulchan Aruch. In terms of Heterim, Apru Urevu, there's one Deya that's not here, everyone else relates to that and shoots it down. In terms of the world of Baalei Tshuva, there is what to talk about. In terms of simply making life, you know, where it's lachzir, I'm using it sarcastically, atarali yoshna, where it's that once upon a time Judaism was much more sensitive to people, that's shtuyot, and that's not on the table at all of poskim nowadays. A doctor can write a book. Anyone can write a book. I can write a book. Anyone can write a book, but that doesn't give it any halachic validity, and in that area we're dealing with that which is either a takana or kitakana, and as such, you know, it is considered to be our starting off point in Siman Kuf Pei Gimel. Okay, with this now we can move over into Hilchos Nida. Now that we know where we're holding, the title of Siman Kuf Pei Gimel is Isha Shirova Tipas Degam Tzricha Loishev Zayin Nekiyim. It's a very, my humble opinion, it's very important to understand the relationship between the world of Isser and the world of Tumah. And it's very important to know where Nida is in the world of Arayos. And it's very important to know the dinim of Nida on a Doraisa, Nida and Zava on a Doraisa plane. Even if you're just being Mavir Sedra, you should at least know what you're being Mavir. Which Naim Mikrevech and Targum includes Rashi, and Rashi brings in all of these dinim. And just in terms of knowing, you know, like where things begin from and how they developed, but where the Shulchan Aruch is already post the Takana of Rebbe and post the Takana of Echmiru Benos Yisrael Al Atzman. And now we're going to have to simply define terminology that in order for a woman to come Nida, she has to see Tipas Dam. So what exactly is Dam? And what type of Dam would make her a Nida? And Vahusha Targish B'Yitziyato. What does this concept of Hargasha mean? So what we're going to do next time is just move into Siman Kuf Pei Gimel. Sorry. Don't be frightened by the size of this. It's mostly for your own background material. Same thing. It's only one. We're going to have to deal with biology. And so there are basically two two graphs that you can, or two pictures you could look at. On the front page is a totally conceptual graph of a woman that simply points out that there's an exterior of the body, an interior, and the terminology which is used medically to describe different parts of her body. And then you have in the dark simply the halachic terminology. The halachic terminology is written like in from inside to outside, and the top of it is from outside to inside. So cheder is the most inside, then prosdor, then beinat shinayim, petach hamakor beinachitzon. That's simply what we're going to have to do is try to match the halachic terminology with the medical terminology. And the next page is a more a picture that would more relate to the reality, but in which at least there is, according to one daya, what is the connection between the halachic terminology and the biological reality. And then I gave you both in Hebrew and in English. In Hebrew there's a very, very fine work by Rav Pfeiffer, Zechona Livracha. He was a Rav in South Africa, fine Talmud Chacham, who decided to write Kitzur Shulchan Aruch on those areas that we don't have the details in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So he has basically on Basav HaChalav, on Taroves, on Malicha, and he has on Hilchos Nida. So this is his introduction. And then afterwards, there is this volume of the, I remember what the name of it is, of the Hilchos Nida that came out from Art Scroll, in which you have the description of the woman's anatomy, and on the last page, an attempt according to different poskim to match the halachic terms with the medical terms of the anatomy of a woman. So we have to start with this just to know what we're talking about. And then we'll move over into what do we find in the Mishnah, what do we find in the Gemara, what do we find in the Rambam, in the Chasam Sofer, and what do we find, most important, in the Mechaber. Okay? So that's what we'll talk about next time. And then we'll move over to the world of Dam and Hargosha. Okay? So at this point, pretty much you can begin to use the Shulchan Aruch as your, the Beis Yosef and the Shulchan Aruch as your main text. Okay, we should have bracha v'hatzlacha. Everyone should have a beautiful Shabbos. Look forward to